Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Pylon Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated, but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm your ever so modest host. And when you say modest thing, caps. Straight up, I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion and I've won some awards for my boxing writing. So, supposedly, allegedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? The average fan knows more. So I open up the toll-free at the top of each hour, just for you, the average fan. Let me know what's on your mind. 1-800-878-7529. The toll-free listener line, once again, 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text us here in the studio, that number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, the Clown Show was on exhibit this week in New York City. I'm talking about the Boxing Writers of America. They held their annual convention, their dinner, call it what you want, award ceremony. But they gave the Fighter of the Year award to Teofimo Lopez and the Trainer of the Year award to his inept father. It's sort of like saying, I don't know, I can't even compare it to anything insane. I just don't, folks. I mean, it's unbelievable. Straight up, Teofimo, of course, got licked like a stamp a fortnight ago by George Kambosos, the world lightweight champion, who returned home this week to Australia to a hero's welcome, no doubt about that. Devin Haney, who got that and more. Of course, Socrates Palmer after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV on Vive TV and Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Somehow you know there's much more to the trip. Let me get my earphones in here. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 12 minutes past the hour. This is the Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, because Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, it's 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and like a thousand other internet platforms. Straight up, boxing alive and well, especially in the 135-pound division, especially, I'll take that back. Gervonta Davis, the winner last week, of course, a 12-round decision over Isaac Cruz. Cruz broke his hand en route. Cruz put up a game effort. People thought it was going to be a rout, but Gervonta Davis was a winner after 12 rounds, won by a couple points on most of these scorecards. Devin Haney was also a winner. He beat Joseph Diaz. Of course, Diaz came to fight, but Diaz was a little bit small, just a little bit less than Devin Haney. The scores were not dominant, but the bottom line is it wasn't a splendid performance, I think, for either guy. Of course, the guy that came up with his splendid performance a fortnight ago is the world lightweight champion. Like him or not, bottom line is he's got attitude, and I do like him. We'll talk about undefeated George Kambosos, Australia. Of course, down under, he returned home, I believe, Monday or Tuesday to a hero's welcome. Thousands of people at the airport. They'll have a big, huge parade. The entire country will turn out. And yes, he will pack 80,000 people into a stadium if he fights Socrates Palmer or Scott Cuddy in his next fight. Doesn't matter who he fights, 80,000 people are going to show up and spend some big bucks down there in Australia. So we've got another guy that can sell tickets and he can fight. The bottom line is he was a 12-1 underdog. That's why the Boxing Writers of America went ahead and named Teofimo Lopez the Boxer of the Year and gave him, of course, that award and the fighter, the trainer of the award to his father, because they figured he was going to smoke this 11-1, this 12-1 favorite. Well, guess what? George Kambosos threw mud in the eye of every boxing writer in America, except for the guys like me that gave him a chance at the end. Straight up, initially, I didn't give much of a chance, but as things broke down, as the fight came closer, in other words, it came and it went. It came and it went. It came and it went. I mean, six or seven times the date was postponed or moved off or something like that, and then it looked like it wasn't going to happen. But the bottom line is Kambosos stayed focused. But I talked before the fight, a fortnight before, a couple weeks before the fight, on how these different cancellations, all these different training camps, making weight so many different times, because a couple of times these guys were within like a week or so of fighting. So if you're within a week, that means you're already cutting weight. You're feeling, life's a bitch. You know what I'm saying? And then you have to go through that four or five or six times. Well, Lopez, who's had problems, make 135 pounds, allegedly. I don't know if he has a dietitian or not. Wink, wink, get one. The bottom line is he got beat up by George Kambosos big time. And if you want to look at the three performances of the lightweight, the perennial lightweights, the upper echelon of lightweight division in the last couple of weeks, without a doubt, George Kambosos gets an A. Gervonta Davis probably gets about a C plus, maybe a B minus. And I guess Devin Haney, you have to give him about, get out a C minus or a B plus too. In other words, neither of those guys went out and like really impressed you. I mean, they did their people good. I mean, Gervonta Davis got a big following. I mean, as far as his peeps are concerned, they loved it. Everything he does, something him and Mayweather, they love it. They love it. Okay. And Devin Haney, he has no fan base. That's what sort of cracks me up about Devin Haney. All Devin Haney has is the WBC, like a lightweight belt. He has one of the belts. Outside of that, he has nothing. I take it back. He's got some ability. He's got an undefeated record, but he can't, nobody knows who he is. I mean, he could probably walk into boxing gyms and not know, people would know who he is. I mean, he's just an unknown, nondescript young man. Now, do I think he can become a superstar? I thought so a couple of years ago, but I think that they've sort of missed the boat there. In other words, I talked earlier when Ray Leonard and I used to kick back and run and do all kinds of crazy things when we were young. I remember one point in time we were sitting in a hot tub in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I said to Ray, what's the difference between a good fighter and a great fighter? And Ray looks at me, he thought for a second, he looks at me, he said, the willingness to gamble, the willingness to go for it. Yeah, I remember times when I was ahead in fights and the third round would come around or the final round would come around in an amateur fight, and I'd still go for it, even though I was ahead, I'd still go for it. There's something about that. You want to finish the fight with an exclamation mark, not with so-so. Bottom line is, I don't think Gervonta Davis and Devin Haney lived up to George Kambosos' upset of a few weeks ago, no doubt about that. Of course, if Teofimo was a man, he beat the man. He beat Lomachenko. Of course, he's going to rumble tonight. Mr. Lomachenko's going to rumble tonight against the young man from Mr. Comey from Africa, who's a stand-up opponent, a guy that's probably going to take a lot of punches before it's over. The bottom line is I don't think he'll quit, but I think the corner will stop the fight. That being said, we take it to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr., boxing's PhD. Sir, I'm on a bit of a roll today. How are you?
I see you, brother. I see you. Put some butter on it. You're on a roll.
Here's what's up. Traffic was crazy today, and of course we're recording this for both Twitch.tv and the Veeve channel, WBC TV. So I didn't come with the camera today. So I kicked back in front of I'm showing up in the studio like an hour early, and I don't have the camera with me. So I go to walk in and see myself, did I miss something? I looked down at my bag, no camera. So I had to go back home, which is about 10, 15 miles away. Bottom line is, I'm here. I'm ready to rock. No prep. Let's talk. Of course, let's give Gervonta Davis a bit of a grade last week. I said C plus B minus. Am I being too critical?
Not really. I mean, you and I both thought that Cruz was going to be overmatched. And, yeah, I mean, we thought it was going to be abuse, but we were both wrong. Isaac Cruz was more than a respectable opponent. I even saw on social media some people, boxing people, not just fans, that thought that Cruz won more rounds than Tank Davis. You know, so it was not a great performance. Now, yes, Tank supposedly hurt his hand. I haven't heard if it was any structural damage to his hand about midway through. But Gervonta Davis, if you really stop and analyze, hasn't looked great since he destroyed Pedraza. You know, he I had said last week, he kind of fights like a lazy fighter that just relies on his punching power. And Isaac Cruz, he wasn't there to pick up a paycheck. And on the contrary, he buzzed Tank a couple of times in that fight. And he's lucky that he was a guy that was coming up in weight, So props to Isaac Cruz. I don't think he necessarily won. I think it could have even been a draw. I only saw it once live. I haven't rewatched it, but it wasn't a great performance by Tank Davis at all.
Am I wrong to call Leo Santa Cruz a midget as far as size was concerned against Gervonta Davis, Davis being a 35-pounder and Leo Santa Cruz being a 26-pounder or 22-pounder?
Well, didn't he win the world title at 118? A midget, no, because I think he's taller than Tank. But then again,
I meant in size. I'm sorry.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, look, Tank was expected to do more last week, you know, bottom line. And Leo, you know, Leo had a great career. You know, he may be a Hall of Famer, if he hangs him up. He hasn't fought since, you know, got put to sleep.
A friend of mine saw him about 6 months ago here in San Francisco, uh-huh, being a tourist before the cable cars were running again, but he was a tourist here in the city by the bay. So let's talk about the other performance of the other WBC lightweight champion. Talk about Mr. Devin Haney, still undefeated, still from the city of San Francisco, but yet you can't find more people know who I am, and nobody knows who I am in San Francisco than they know who he is. How can you be a world champion from the city by the bay of San Francisco and not a single person, not a single soul knows who you are here?
It's hard, man. I mean, I'm not going to say anything shocking. You know, unless you have some sort of Olympic pedigree, you know, or they paint you as a villain, Black American fighters don't sell tickets. They just don't, you know, and the fan base is not as fervent, you know, as it is for other nationalities, point blank. You know, that's just the bottom line. And is it Devin Haney's fault? Maybe if he fought in a more exciting style, you know, maybe if he was knocking people out like Tank Davis, who's in the same demographic, he would have a bigger following. Maybe if he had a promoter, I believe Devin Haney's kind of like his own promoter, and then he just uses Eddie Hearn, you know, to matchmake and whatnot. But, you know, it's just is what it is. Devin Haney definitely is the low man on the totem pole.
The father is involved with Devin Haney. Another father in the corner. You know, this father in the corner, as far as father in the corner is concerned, this year has been a flop. I mean, listen, I can't think of a more inept job in the corner than Teofimo Lopez Sr. Can you?
No, absolutely not. He definitely earned the Turkey of the Year award. However, the one difference between Bill Haney and Mr. Lopez is that Bill seems to be a little bit more open-minded. He had Ben Davis in the corner, you know, so I'm assuming he's got a smaller ego and he's able to, you know, bring in other people. You never want to be the smartest guy in the room. So
I do.
What do you mean?
I always wanted to be the smartest dude in the room. I always wanted. That's my problem. I hang around with too many smart people. Anyway, a boxing's PhD. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, to WBC TV as well, coming to you on Veev TV. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the show if you're joining us for the very first time today. Can I say welcome? Because we've been here a while. Can I say 37, make that 30 plus years now. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer after Ring. Of course, tonight, Vasyl Lomachenko, the ex-king, the pound-for-pound king of boxing. Of course, that one loss to Teofimo Lopez, was that a fluke? We'll find out against that more when we fight Richard Comey tonight. Of course, that and Ring Talk Live Worldwide continues after the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let's get out of this hot sun into a nice, cool bar.
In a few minutes, honey.
Check out the World Boxing Council's website, their interactive website, WBCboxing.com. Of course, Mauricio Sulaiman, the president of the World Boxing Council, got an array of stuff there. I mean, everything from diets to training to boxing results to upcoming fights, the whole nine yards. It is available at WBCboxing.com. Now, the odds probably couldn't be higher for Vasyl Lomachenko tonight if he were to lose. Of course, that would be two fights in a row. And to Richard Comey, of course, the fighter who's always been a formidable foe, no doubt about that. But when it comes to cracking that big egg and become a world champion, I don't think Comey's been there yet. I don't think he'll be there as far as his future is concerned. But he's the perfect opponent for this guy. Why? Because I think he's going to stand there and be a bit stiff. Now, for that, we bring in boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. Is Richard Comey the perfect opponent for Vasyl Lomachenko?
Stylistically, yes. And more so, I like Richard. You know, he's a New Yorker, Bronxite, like myself. Native of Ghana, but I don't know if Richard has that fire. You know, I think he's a really nice guy. And you saw that at the press conference and some of, you know, the interactions between the two, both classy fighters. Richard needs to leave his nice guy hat at home locker room, at least.
That ain't, you know? I don't think he's got the tiger in him. He's more of a boxer than a fighter. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, yeah. And he's been in there with some great competition. Obviously, you know, Teofimo Lopez. He has a great win against Ray Beltran. He lost a close decision to Robert Easter. He's been in there, you know, with big time fighters, you know. He's got to get over the hump. I don't think it happens tonight. I think if, to use the eye of the tiger cliche, Vasily Lomachenko still has the eye of the tiger. And he seems like a very pissed off eye of the tiger. He may run through Richard Comey. He just may be too much. As we know, there's levels in boxing. I think Richard's a game opponent. I think he's going to have his moments. But I think Lomachenko's just going to overwhelm him. I don't see him stopping Comey because I don't think I don't feel that Lomachenko has that one knockout power. I think he kind of just overwhelms people.
Sock, what he does is he beats you up and he makes your corner quit for you. That's the spirit. I've never seen anybody do that. I remember a couple times looking over and seeing guys quit on me or corner stop a fight. You wouldn't believe the rush that is. When it's just called like that. But, you know, now that we look at the big picture right now, as far as the big picture is concerned, I mean, you know, Jake Paul was making cracks this week. Is Jake Paul a boxing star? Somebody asked me to ask you that. Is Jake Paul a boxing star?
He's a pay-per-view star, I'll tell you that much. You know, I think he's a... You know, hey, you know what? He's a novelty. We know this. Is he going to ever win a world title? I don't think so. But then again, it's boxing, you know. But no, I mean, Jake Paul, I'm one of the few people that actually think he's good for boxing because, you know, any attention is kind of good, especially when, you know, we are a niche sport at this point in this country. He's good for the sport, you know. He's fighting guys that he's supposed to beat. You know, he's got the rematch with Tyron Woodley, which actually could be the best thing that happened because, you know, Fury flaking out is a real bad look, and he probably was going to get beat.
Time out. Did he get hit in the ribs with bare fists by somebody? Fury? Tommy Fury? Is that why he pulled out?
Is that what you're hearing? I have no idea.
I saw the old man Fury was on some website saying, yeah, he goes, somebody hit him in the ribs with somebody in training was trying to show him something and hit him in the ribs with a bare fist. I mean, that sounds pretty lame. He accused a trainer of doing that. Anyway, enough of that.
It's very smart, isn't it?
Yeah, what can I say? Let's talk about the heavyweight situation for a minute. It looks like the WBC is going to mandate Dillian White and Tyson Fury. Is Dillian White a road bump, a bump in the road for Tyson Fury? Is he a real threat?
I think he's only a real threat if Tyson Fury doesn't see him as a threat. You know, we kind of get the hot and cold of Tyson Fury sometimes. Like when he fought Otto Wallin, he wasn't at his best, you know, but if anyone is style wise, tailor made for Tyson Fury is Dillian White. Dillian White is slow. He's got slow feet. He's easy to hit. Tyson Fury could close his eyes and hit Dillian White. You know, from his stool, you know, with the reach, and he's just not a good defensive fighter. We've seen Dillian White get knocked into orbit as he did against,
Povetkin.
You know, so he's tailor made and, you know, Dillian White deserves his shot. You know, he's been the number one contender, I believe, for about a year now, a calendar year. So he deserves his shot. You know, does he have what it takes to beat Tyson Fury? It's going to have to be the best performance in his life, and it's going to have to be the worst performance in Tyson Fury's life.
The Charlo brothers, all I hear is noise from these guys. The 54-pounder, he's like an asterisk to me, but the 160-pounder, because he's undefeated, I want to see what he can do, and I want to see him against the upper echelon at 160, 168 pounds. But they do a lot of talking. I mean, as far as talking champions, Curran, that champion at 160 pounds, Charlo, seems to be the champion talker of them all now.
He's a pump faker. That's all they are. You know, they're pump fakers. They talk a big game. They've made decent money, and I guess they're happy. There's been a lot of fights that could have been made. I personally think him and Andre would be a great fight. But sooner or later, you get old. You're wasting your career. You know, it's almost becoming like Gary Russell. You know, the calendar only moves forward.
Timeout. You've got to tell people Gary Russell was an accomplished fighter. We've only seen him like twice in the past 5 years.
Yeah, and he's still a world champ. You know,
Let's not even go there on that one. would a good way to describe the Charles be their studio gangsters? They try to be tough guys, but they're really any tough guys in the studio?
Wow. Yeah. You know what? It's becoming that way. You know, I mean, now from what I understand, that the younger brothers fighting, the rematch with Castaño, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Their first fight was really good, you know, but the 160, you know, he's got something to prove. You know, he really does. I mean, his career has kind of stagnated. You know, we're waiting for that signature performance or even a signature opponent, but they're stuck in that PBC world, you know, that they kind of like, it's kind of incestual. Like what's out there for him? You know, they're going to have to step out of that box, you know, to find a dance partner.
Do the boxing writers of America, did they bet on Teofimo Lopez to beat George Kambosos?
I don't think they bet. I don't think.
They bet their entire show on it.
Yeah. It's timing is everything in life.
Oh.
I think whoever's in charge of that should probably make it a little later in the year. You know, I mean, I don't know what the rush is. Look, Teofimo Lopez had a great run. And I guess he earned, you know, their award.
No.
I was actually surprised that he was there in person to pick it up.
Not only that, he made a speech. His father made a speech. I mean, these guys are like Laurel and Hardy, two clowns.
Yeah. Sometimes less is more. I wonder if they're going to be at the fight tonight. I'm assuming. I mean, since they're in New York, they're going to be at the fight tonight. I hope someone does not put a camera in front of them. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting because, you know, the father all of a sudden now is sucking up to the birthday boy, Bob Arum.
Let's say happy birthday to Bob Arum. He turned 90 this week. Of course, he CEO of top-ranked boxing, former U.S. attorney under the administration of John F. Kennedy back in 1960.
Wow.
Graduated top of his class. I can't remember what they call it, cum laude or something like that, at Harvard in 1958.
Wow.
I know the background on Bob. Master Bob
has
been
life.
A master manipulator in boxing, but he's been sort of like the man. You got to call him a survivor. Don King says he's still going, but I don't see much coming out of Don King yet. Bob Arum's putting on shows every week.
Yeah, he still has a passion, you know, for it. At 90, I mean, you know, blessings to him. I hope that when I'm 90, I still have that spirit to leave my living room.
But he's dropping more F-bombs than he did when we were together without the tape on.
He has definitely gotten saltier with time. Yes, he has zero filter at all.
No, you know, Don King, looks like Don King has won a purse bid for the Brian and Char fight. We'll probably talk about that next week. Bottom line is, not a great week, I think, for the lightweights because of the fact Kambosos looked so good going in. These guys had to look good or better, and they didn't.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, like I said, George is the pretty girl to dance. You know, he's the man. He's the lineal champ, and he has earned the right to choose who he wants next. If I was betting, I think he fights the winner of tonight in Australia. I think neither guy would have a problem jumping on the plane, especially not Lomachenko, you know, and it could be a real historic night. Yeah, I think...
I want a guy that's going to bring some money. Lomachenko doesn't bring any. He doesn't bring enough money for me. And he's too much threat, not enough money. I'll say this in less than 10 seconds. The bottom line is he's not going to turn the pay-per-view crank. That's why he's not going to.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, let's see. I'm sure they're banking on the big house money, on the big house gate.
Yeah, but you
got Nino Donaire fights tonight. Let's not forget about that and more.
I'll talk about it in depth. Anyway, bottom line is your boy Andrade won last week. All the best to you, Socrates Palmer. A good week. Say hello to Sebastian. Give him a big kiss and a hug from the Ring Talk crew.
I definitely will, Uncle Pedro.
Okay.
All the best. Enjoy the fights.
Sebastian is, of course, he's like the newest addition to the family. He's like 13 months old now. I think he's 13 months old. Bottom line is, I think he's a little over a year, but the bottom line is he's got a few teeth now. We hear him in the background on different shows. We love him. Bottom line is he's part of the family. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing. More after the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
The guitar of the mighty Jerry Cortez, of course, Tower of Power's lead guitarist. They only have one. Let's say lead guitarist. Bottom line is he's been there a while. Of course, Tower of Power rocking and rolling at towerofpower.com. They've got a couple racing. Cuddy says they're not called albums anymore. They're called drops. They're not called CDs anymore. They're called drops. Bottom line is Tower of Power's got some new drops going on. That's what I'm told. Don King Productions won the auction for the WBA heavyweight title bout between Trevor Bryan and Mahmoud Chard. Of course, that's going to take place. The purse bid was earlier this week, and Don King won it with a purse bid of $1,100,000 or close to that. Bottom line is, I got to tell you, I don't know if Don King's really worthy. I'm really ready to get back into boxing because he's 90 years old, and when I talk to him on the phone, when I have talked to him on the phone, although he doesn't seem to want to talk to me anymore, he doesn't seem to be as sharp as he once did. Now, 90 years old, he probably should be losing some of that edge off the blade, but the bottom line is, has he lost too much? We'll learn more in the coming weeks. Now, let's take it to Shreveport, Louisiana. I used to have a big station in Shreveport. I can't remember the name of it. But the bottom line is that was back in the day we were doing late-night radio. Of course, now we're doing daytime radio and daytime TV, of course, live on Twitch.tv, Sports Byline USA, and, of course, Veev TV, the WBC TV channel. We take it to Shreveport, Louisiana, and bring in Primetime Eddie Croft. Primetime Eddie Croft, how much is it going to cost me to work out at B Street Boxing? I want to get it off, get that out of the way right away. What's gym dues?
For you?
No. What's gym dues?
You know what? It's $105 if you are 18 or under, and it's $125 if you're over 18.
Well, what about senior citizens? You got a senior citizen discount there?
Nah, man. Because senior citizens have more money than me.
Oh, Eddie, you don't know what time it is. So Primetime Eddie Croft at the National Golden Gloves back in Shreveport, Louisiana. Not a great week for the B Street team, but nobody got dominated. Nobody got decimated. I mean, it was point loss, right?
Yeah. You know what? I don't know if I necessarily would agree that it wasn't a great week. You know what? It was a good week. I didn't get a gold medal winner, and I actually really was confident that we would get, you know, Steve Johnson to a gold medal match, but, you know, it didn't work out. So, but I did get two guys get to bronze medal, so, you know, I'm proud of the way we showed up.
Okay, Nonito Donaire, he's 38 years old.
Yeah.
He's taking on Raymar Caballo. Of course, this is a battle of all Filipinos. Is this just a showcase bout for Donaire?
Yeah, you know what? Raymar's kind of a wild free swinger from what I understand. So Donaire should be able to, like, catch him in between the wide punches, and especially be able, you know, land that left hook on his chin. I think the fight will be over midway through.
Chris Algieri, of course, a former junior welterweight world contender. I think he even held a title for a minute there. Now fighting Conor Benn at 147 pounds. Is size going to be the difference? Size and age, the difference here, Conor Benn being younger and bigger?
I don't know how much bigger he is. I'm sure he's a little bit bigger. Definitely age. I mean, Algieri, when he was at his best, when he beat Provodnikov, what made him good was his footwork. Like, he just was able to constantly move, and he was relentless in the other way of not necessarily going forward, but he was a relentless circler. So he kind of would outbox you that way, and that's how he beat Provodnikov. Now, being his age, he's not going to be able to move the legs the same way, and he's going to have to, like, the past few fights, he's tried to rely more on, like, upper body and waist movement, and that's definitely not his strong suit.
Primetime Eddie Croft, trainer from the B Street Boxing, of course, down there in San Mateo, California, I guess. December 11 looks live and happening. ESPN Plus has got a car with a guy named Stephen Ward. Sonny Edwards and Jason Mama are on its AXS card. DAZN's got Demetria Bivol. WB Light Heavyweight title fight. DAZN's got Conor Benn and Chris Algieri. Showtime's got Nonito Donaire. ESPN, ESPN Plus got Vasyl Lomachenko, Richard Comey. This is not the norm for boxing in December, Eddie.
You know what? We've been hearing for a long time that boxing is dead, and it just seems like there's more boxing than ever to me. You know, it's still, to me, like, the financial structure is still the haves and have nots, and I don't think that that will ever change. But now, I mean, this has been great. And look, like you said, December to have all these fights back to back and on the same night, man, it's been awesome for you know, boxing, for me as a boxing fan, and you know, it being my business, it's been great as well.
You know, one time I promoted a card in the second week of December at the Longshoremen's Hall, and I was sweating the crowd because it was Christmas, right? And it was like, man. So I never thought about trying to throw a boxing card in December around Christmas. And now
But Pedro, I saved you on that show because I sold a bunch of tickets.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Primetime Eddie Croft probably did save me on that show. Yes, sir. Hey, do you remember the time I was held up in the dressing room when the fighter said he wouldn't come down to fight Danny McGuire, and I had to go up there and give him like $500?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was called, his name was Pantera Ornelas. I'll never forget. He goes, listen, man, I just got out of the joint. I said, yeah, so what? Yeah. He goes, I don't give a spit. He didn't say spit neither. He goes, you can do what you want. I spent 3 days in San Francisco on your ass already. So what you going to do? You give me the money or am I going to leave? So I gave him the money. Of course. Then he went downstairs and gave Danny McGuire all kinds of hell. As far as Donaire is concerned, 38 years old. How far can he push the envelope? Is he good enough to go back and rumble again with the monster in Oi at 118 pounds?
No, but I don't see any of the other guys beating him.
Okay. Well, all right.
You know, I mean, like, the thing about Inouye is that he's going to, you know, give you a lot of footwork. Even though he's not moving away from you, he's still, you know, giving you constant movement. And someone that does that, that's what gives Donaire problems. You know, Nonito likes, you know, for you to be sitting there and, you know, so he can, like, sit down and plant his feet and, like, land a hammer on you. So, yeah, that's why it's a bad style matchup for him.
Okay. Last question for Primetime Eddie Croft. Do you fly well?
Yeah.
You do?
I like to fly. Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't fly well. I mean, flying has never been I remember one time Hector and I were on a flight, and things got so bad that he was sweating and he held my hand.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I mean, the plane was rocking and rolling. One time I had a plane going to Tahoe. One time I had a plane turn over on its side on me. Then I went to Colorado Springs in the snow, and this plane almost crashed, and it was yikes, man. And I don't fly too well. So good luck in the flight home tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks. And after that, I got to fly to Russia. So I think originally I was supposed to go to Ukraine, but now that Russia has a bunch of troops on the border, I think I'm actually going to go to Russia instead. So
I don't know what the political divide is over there. But the bottom line is congratulations to you and the entire team, Eddie, man. I wish you the best and look forward to you when you get home.
Right on, Pedro. Thank you so much, man.
All the best. Primetime Eddie Croft, folks. He's fought the best. Barrera, Morales, you name it. He rumbled with them all. And he is Primetime Eddie Croft. Of course, they have B Street Boxing. Check it out, B Street Boxing. And they are in San Mateo, California. They got a great gym. Of course, got older guys, younger guys, but he does have a senior citizen rate, so that means I might not be accepted there. I don't know. Bottom line is Dmitry Bivol in action. I suppose a 5-1 favorite, a guy named of Umar Salamov, of course, has the WBA light heavyweight title. As far as the rest of the fights are concerned, Conor Benn's probably going to roll over Chris Algieri. Nonito Lanier should gangster slap Mr. Reynard Garbala for the most part, unless he got old overnight. You know, he's 38 years old. When you're 38, you can get old in a minute, in a heartbeat. Of course, has Nonito Lanier gotten that old? Well, I sort of thought he hit his peak on July 7th, 2007, when he knocked Victor Chinny into another world. I mean, the Australian was the IBF 112-pound champion at the time, and he was a prohibitive favorite going in, and Donaire knocked him into another time zone. I mean, like, ba-boom. He, like, went to sleep in L.A. and woke up in Philly, okay? So when they interviewed him after the fight, they said, hey, what do you think about getting knocked out? He goes, knocked down? What are you talking about? Knocked out? What are you talking about? I wasn't knocked out. Anyway, that was July 7th. 2007. That was over 14. That was 14 and a half years ago. We thought Donaire hit his peak 14.5 years ago, and now he is the 38-year-old WBC bantamweight champion, having beat an undefeated champion, although unheralded to get there. But the bottom line is tonight he takes on his Filipino co-patriot, and Raymond Caballo will probably lick him like a sandwich. I said Conor Benn's going to roll. Now, Vasyl Lomachenko. How much does he have left? I mean, that's really the big question. How much does he have left? Because, you know, for the most part, I mean, I talked earlier about how he wins fights. He wins fights by stopping guys, but he doesn't stop them like with one punch or with a body shot, this and that. He stops them by frustrating them, beating them to death. He's like, boom, boom, boom. It's like having guys throw rocks at you. I told you I was supposed to fight Zach Padilla. Zach Padilla ended up being the IBF or the WBA 140-pound world champion, but he was the USABF champion at one point in time. But he was a guy that threw 150 punches around, and he threw real punches. They weren't jokes, okay? So he was like almost unbeatable, just basically unbeatable. I think Lomachenko was of that same ilk because he threw so many punches that, you know, after five, six, seven rounds, your guy's getting shellacked. Your guy's getting shut out. Your guy's getting beat up. Why continue? That's what a lot of the guys have said with Vasyl Lomachenko. Now, Mr. Comey, he's very brave. There's no doubt about it. Of course, a guy that says he's from living in New York, he's going to bring that New York crowd with him? No, he's not. Vasyl Lomachenko is going to have the crowd with him because he's going to draw a whole lot of Russians to this card. Besides Sergey Kovalev. Sergey Kovalev is in town. Of course, the long-time light heavyweight champion. He's in town for this fight. I really don't see this fight being all that competitive. I don't. I think that Mr. Richard Comey was picked for a reason. The fact that he's sort of stiff and he stands there like this, and he isn't an offensive machine. In other words, he wouldn't go out and try to. In other words, like last week, I guess when George Kambosos was asked what he needed to do against the champion, you know, Teofimo Lopez, what he needed to do, he said he followed the script of Custy Amato and Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. In other words, go out there against Joe Frazier. That's what he told Ali, was go out there and throw your best right hand. He went out there and he threw his best right hand. There's no doubt about it, of course. And Kambosos now being heralded as he's a linear champion. And there is a dispute at 135 pounds now with Devin Haney having that WBC belt. So there is a dispute there. Now, Haney said this week that he would be willing to go down to Australia and fight George Kambosos. Of course, that's a big money fight, no doubt about it. And what else can Devin Haney do? In other words, I'm trying to tell you, Danny Maguire, or some of the guys that sold tickets for me, but Eddie Croft can sell more tickets in San Francisco right now than Devin Haney. He really could. He could sell more tickets because nobody knows who Devin Haney is outside of Devin Haney and maybe, you know, a couple of people he Instagrams. That's it. I mean, he's like the Instagram champ. And last week he had an opportunity against an opponent that I thought he was bigger than, that I thought he was a lot better than, to go out there and really, really shine. In other words, go out there and try to bust him up and win this fight inside the distance. In other words, make a statement. Let people know, guess what? I'm Devin Haney. But no, he wanted to do that Floyd Mayweather type of thing and go out there and just box for 12 rounds and do put forth as little effort as you can. No risk, little effort, this and that. Guess what? It shouldn't amount to a giant payday. It shouldn't amount to him going down to Australia and getting millions of dollars. I don't think he's earned it. I really don't. And as far as Gervonta Davis is concerned, he sort of missed the boat last week. Had he been shaped and rocked through that fight and been really, really solid, I think that's why they picked Pitbull Cruz, because he was smaller. But had he not been in the shape that he was in, you know, he might have shined a little bit better. Then again, Pitbull Cruz, styles make fights. Maybe Pitbull Cruz was just too much on him. Now, back to the heavyweight division. Who's good outside of Tyson Fury? Obviously, Oleg Usyk. He is the man. I think he's the man. He beat Anthony Joshua like a girl. He beat him down so bad they should have arrested him for domestic violence, okay? And now nobody wants to fight Oleg Usyk. He's a former 200-pound champion. He's a small little guy as far as heavyweights are concerned. He's tall. He's rangy. He faints you. He's the best boxer in the heavyweight division right now. Do I think he could faint Tyson Fury into oblivion? I think he might be able to. Why do I say that? Because he was fainting with his hands, fainting with his feet, the whole nine yards. He looked like Pernell Whitaker at heavyweight. Of course, they've said that about Tyson Fury, but lately, Tyson Fury looks like a bit of a slob. He just does. Doesn't look all that dedicated to me. I know there's been a lot of cancellations and postponements, that kind of good stuff in the world of Tyson Fury, but the Dr. and Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of heavyweight champions is just that, Jekyll and Hyde. And that comes to conditioning and mental status. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Lenny Williams to the break. Hey, I know that enough is enough, but you shouldn't be talking about giving it up. Turning loose might be right, it seems. The wrong decision. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
Wow, Boxing Night. We'll talk about that in depth, of course, the different TV channels. But the UFC's rock and rolling on pay-per-view. Charles Oliveira versus Dustin Poirier. Of course, these guys are going to go at 155 pounds. Oliveira is a champion. That's news to me. Amanda Nunes defending her title against Juliana Pena. Of course, she's a world women's bantamweight champion, 135 pounds. She can rock, no doubt about that. Maybe the pound-for-pound best ever as far as a female is concerned. So that's going to rock to you on pay-per-view. Coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. Of course, the Apex Center. Straight up the UFC rock and roll. And last week, Jose Aldo, 39, 45, 90 years old. Bottom line is a former bantamweight champion, still making 135 pounds, and he was a winner in the main event last week, of course. Now, boxing tonight, December the 11th. Man, Showtime's got it going on. No need, no air in the main event. The Zone's got it going on. Conor Benn and Chris Alzeri. The Zone's got another fight. Dimitri Bivol and Umar Salamov, of course, the WBA light heavyweight title on the line. Axis is going to go with Sonny Edwards versus Joseph Mamba, of course, the IBF flyweight title. Paul Butler versus Joseph Acabo for the WBO interim bantamweight title. December 11th, Stephen Ward versus Kamchek something. That's a cruiserweight. And, of course, the 17th coming up, Artur Beterbiev and Marcus Brown. That's next week. The 18th is going to be Joseph Parker and Derek Chisora, the rematch. Why does Joseph Parker need to fight Derek Chisora a second time? Because he barely beat him the first time, and Chisora is an old man. Should have licked him like a stamp. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, of course, brought to you by the World Boxing Council. Check out their interactive website, WBCBoxing.com. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Don't forget the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide comes to you at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and of course, Twitch.tv and VTV. Till next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect.